the annals of history.
There has been some mighty trios. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Harry, Ron and Hermione, and the Bee Gees.
Well, sure, there's only one of them now, but you get the drift.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these three men will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Please welcome Scotty, No I Don't Know Why I Got Fired Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve, Golden Tonsils Payos.
Well, this is take two of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, season two, episode 17, technically, but it's not a real episode. It's a Christmas episode, which we actually tried to record last Monday, had huge computer dramas, so we all just got drunk and swam in my pool. Gentlemen, welcome along. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards.
I'm Duke Didier.
Stevie P.
Yes, indeed. All thanks to the Butcher Shop, who aren't paying for this episode, which is good because I think it's going to be very loose and very crazy.
I didn't even know we were doing an episode. I was coming for the piss.
I do thank Ian and the crew, especially after last week, last Thursday morning, they had a fire at Dixon, which closed them down for 4 days.
Really?
The air conditioning unit burnt out, but they're all back and running and everything is fine for the Christmas ham. So
yeah, really?
None of the meat was damaged.
Where was the fire?
Out the very back of the Dixon shop and air conditioning
where
unit
I was,
melted at
where
1
I was hitting the meat. Like 10
yeah,
years ago.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so, but they're all good. They're
can
all
we sue someone?
No.
Who's Reza? Does it Reza work for an air conditioning company?
Yeah.
We know a guy, man. We know a guy.
Airmaster.
Airmaster. Free plug.
Spiro Blackswell well across an air conditioning unit in his time.
They're already up and running, which is good. So, a very different episode. We're just going to sort of shoot the shit and talk about stuff. We are going to play a song.
That sounds like every episode we've ever done.
Without a formal structure, yeah.
Yeah, no, they're a little
we're winging
more,
it.
A little more together than they normally are. But, yeah, plenty on the way. I guess a couple of the big things we need to talk about. Benny, you've had another fight since we last recorded. Duke, you've had another fight as well.
Payos has called 50 fights.
Yeah. And been all around the bloody world.
Yes, I have.
It's
yeah.
all happening. And now you're watching the Ashes on your phone in the studio.
Got it in the background, mate. Yes, got it in the background.
Can multitask.
Scotty. I still find that you're the only wog I've ever met that loves cricket.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you've spoken to me about that a few times.
I'm married to half a wog. No one in her family likes cricket except the ringing Aussies that are married
Payos
into the
more
family.
Aussie than me.
There's no doubt. You are more woggy than Steve Payos.
Yeah. Well, I am.
Yeah, love the cricket, mate. It's been good. Good to have it on. Always something to keep your eye on.
Yeah, me and Ben are stoked with the cricket, eh?
Yeah, you got to love that when it comes. You got to love that when it comes to the Ashes and you hear the old, "Oh, who's playing?"
Yeah, oh, please. And on day one, who's winning?
Yeah, who's winning? Yeah, the standard cricket call.
Is Warnie bowling?
But you grew up in a sporting family.
Yeah, grew up in a sporting family. Dad loves the cricket,
but real sport. But real sport. We like sport. We actually got to be semi tough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Although in the first day of this test, one of the Pommies copped 145 km/h ball right on the
in
back
the
of
the
melone.
Helmet.
Yeah. Cool. It rocked him. Yeah. It's kind of like a very slow left Ben Edwards jab.
Sounds like every fight ever.
Yeah.
Sounds like a jab.
Oh, dearie. So you go, let's
start already.
It's not going to be technical, and we'll come up with shit jokes like that. So anyway, let's start with a bit of a song so we can have another beer, and we'll come back. Everyone knows, listening to this podcast, huge fan of the work that the boys in Alterbridge do. Miles Kennedy.
That's where I know the name.
The lead singer.
He's doing his own thing.
He's been working on this album for a long time, and he's got an album out next year called Year of the Tiger. The first single's been released.
Is it the Year of the Tiger next year?
No. It was the year his father passed away, and it's a concept album about his dad dying.
Got
him. He's happy with you. He's happy with Miles Kennedy. He's had another week.
Fuck you, Miles Kennedy.
Oh my God, that is terrible.
And we couldn't have timed that. We could not have timed that.
Stevie P. Going to
that was another perler off the massive crack.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much about the weekend Ben Edwards had from what he's just told. Here's Year of the Tiger.
Dear,
it's a cracker. Check this out on the Give Yourself a podcast.
Tiger, I won't weep and mourn. to an ocean grave, threw his ashes to the wind and walked away. In the year of the tiger, I got no time to waste. A resolution to keep fighting and remain, yeah, on a cold, cruel July.
Was Year of the Tiger by Alter Bridge singer Miles Kennedy, and we are the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with me, Benny E, Stevie P, Scotty M, and Duke.
Canberra's favourite fighting side.
Mate, you're number two. You lost. I won. I'm number one.
You wrecked a segment. Spoiler alert.
Best back announcer.
That took about 9 minutes before the first dig came in. So, listen, it's not sort of normal fight news, but let's do this.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Bifferama.
That's insane in the membrane.
All right, Benny, Bifferama. We're going to talk about your fight first. We'll get to Duke later in the show. Jeremy,
can't wait.
The answer joiner. I was there.
I had the questions.
It was fantastic. It was a lot quicker than the last fight. You did eat a fair bit of leather in the fight, though, and when Duke Didier is going,
hands up, hands up, like, shut hands up. And I'm like, shut up.
You're not the boss of me.
Well, firstly, Duke, you obviously cornering for Ben, and you've been helping him big time with the wrestling and stuff. Your thoughts on it, and did Ben go in a bit lax, like with copping as much... You well, copped plenty of leather, didn't you, in that fight? You copped a few hits.
Well, I think, you know, I was doing what I said I'd do with Ben. I said, if I feel like you're in a position, even though, you know, I'm not the caliber striker Ben and never will be,
yeah,
I still feel like if your hands are down, I'll still say...
If my head's rocking back like a piss dispenser, I'll say something.
Maybe I should... Excuse me, coaching.
No offense, but...
I was screaming hands up, and then when Ben was against the ropes...
Pummel.
Yeah. And instead, Ben was just sort of waiting. I was going, what's he doing, pummel? And then he came with the biggest elbow.
That video you shared is the one I took. I was
you
scared.
Filmed that,
I was, yeah. That was your one. You should have that, yeah.
And, when I was there watching, sort of half keeping an eye on the camera, and, when you're yelling pummel and that elbow rocked him, then you sort
first elbow I've ever thrown in a fight.
And then you sort of hit him with a left and he dropped, and then it was game over.
I got him with two elbows out of the clinch.
Yeah, two. And that's the thing. Is like when he did that, I said, oh, okay. Well,
all right.
We're doing something different. That's
we'll go back to pummeling later. But no, it was good, man. I did eat more punches than what I thought, but I was so worried about the takedown and the wrestling that timing was about 1 inch off.
He was
hitting me, but it was right at the end of the punch, past the power. He was hitting me, and my head was buzzing, but I was not.
Well, no,
I was not hurt
for you this time. So every time he did go, you stuffed it quite well.
Yeah, that's all I was worried about. So because you got to have your hands. We don't have to have your hands down at all, but. I was so worried about not getting an underhook and ending up on the ground that I'm like, he's hitting me, but he's not hurting me at all.
Yep.
He's just clipping me just right at the last couple of centimetres of his punch. So I wasn't worried at all.
Yeah.
Gave him a corner a heart attack, but I was all right.
Yeah,
it was cool because I'd only started... I've never had an elbow fight. I've never had a Muay Thai fight in my life, and there's no elbows in K1.
Yep.
First MMA fight, didn't throw
it
one.
It was a big elbow.
And I was just sort of waiting for him to pop his head up, and he did. I clipped him right on the ear. And buzzed him. And because of Gaz Reese, my new Muay Thai coach, we've been drilling elbow combinations heaps.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened. And we'll build on that for the next one.
Yeah,
so
nice.
I look forward to it.
Stevie, you saw it later on the video. I think you were away for work and caught it later.
Yeah,
you've seen a zillion of Ben's fights.
That's right. Yeah, I was away.
What'd you think?
Yeah, it was a good fight, mate. It's similar to the last one. I thought you obviously spent a bit of time in there too, Benny, which is obviously going to help you for the future. The more time you spend inside inside the cage.
I need
quality
as much
opponent.
I've got 6 minutes MMA experience.
That's it.
So I need as much as possible.
That's it. As Scotty said, it didn't go for as long, but I think it was still a similar sort of time, wasn't it? Still
yeah,
a couple,
yeah,
couple of minutes.
So I think it was just 3.5, and the first fight was four minutes or something.
Oh, no. I could keep it in the first round, though.
Yeah, first round.
And the difficulty is for you is that, I mean, it's not something that you want to stand, I guess. I mean, not like a boxer goes into a boxing fight to actually get the rounds extended as much as he wants, but there's a lot more of an opportunity for those fights to go your 6 rounds, 8 rounds, get your time in there against a tough opponent. But in your case, you know, if there's an opportunity to finish early, you want to make sure you take that.
Yeah.
So it still looked like a pretty good performance. I mean, you've got the guys in your corner who are going to look after you and give you all of the information that you need heading forward. But at the same time, when you found the opportunity to actually get out there and finish the fight, you did that straight
I
up. So
every time.
Yeah, which is good. So you got to do that. You got
to
find
it
early.
You make one mistake in MMA,
mate,
it's different to boxing.
Like I still think you're far from being perfectly polished, but you'd know that yourself.
Oh,
and you're in a situation where you've done well, you've started well, same way Yana Duke started many years ago. You start well, you get the wins.
He let me down recently, but before that, he was going great. Yeah.
6-1.
Four. That's still a good result in tennis. Since my first set. Moving on to the second one, sir.
I still respect you, Duke.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
But look, mate, it's a good start for you, Benny. You can't ask for anything more than that.
Yeah.
Looks like you boys are going to be fighting again soon. I won't say anything further. Leave that to you guys
to
elaborate on.
I'll definitely grow from the experience.
Yeah,
because there's a few things I look at and go, oh, that was a bit sloppy.
How do you find it? Like, you're in a position where you get in there for a few minutes. You know, how is it after the first sort of minute or two when you spend a bit of time in that cage? It's different to what you've been in before. So you spend some time in there, you know what it's like, and you're like, okay, this is different now. I'm a bit more comfortable in, as opposed to those first nerve-wracking seconds when you get in there and you're like, wow,
this is different. It's all the same. As soon as you're out there and the lights are on, it's sort of like an out-of-body experience is how I put it. Before the fight.
You got a bit nervous before this
fight,
didn't you? I
was
stories.
The most relaxed guy in the world till about 15 minutes before.
And what happened, Jude?
And I started dry-reaching bad.
Yeah, right.
And I
think has that ever happened to you before in a fight?
I've been super nervous before, but not dry reaching.
You've been sneaking twisties in before the fight. What's going on?
But I think the biggest thing for me was it was a mental side of things, because I trained properly for that and the pressure was on because I did every single thing right. Concentrate on me, the cricket.
We're nine. Listen to me. He just copped one on the elbow.
And it was just a it was a mental thing on my behalf because I did everything right. If I lost this, there's no excuses. I feel great.
Yep.
Everything's awesome.
Yep.
And there's just that's where a lot of people, they'll take any fight. They don't win all the time, but there's no pressure on them because they haven't trained. I did everything right. If I lost, there was no excuses. Yeah. So I think that's where it came from.
Well, as an outsider and a fan of fighting, the stuff you guys are putting on social media with your scrap pack and that, it's a great insight for all the Canberra fans, especially to see what you're doing. And you're not giving too much away to your opponents.
Yeah.
But the fact that there just seems to be this driven vibe between all of you guys
you've got it
going on, and it's happening, and it's exciting as a Canberra fight fan to think, shit, these two boys could be in the UFC shortly.
And we're adding to it as well. We've got a new guy starting with us, probably when Duke gets off his bender. Probably January.
He's had a Slurpee and a Corona.
Beers.
A Slurpee and a Corona.
A few social beers with mates over the weekend. Get off the case, it's Christmas.
but we're still growing. We've got another guy starting with us. And even Rezo, who's part of the scrapback. He asked me to be his trainer for his next fight.
Yeah,
we're finalists. So I did my first session with him today. It's been awesome.
Awesome.
He's one of the great grapplers, isn't he, Rez?
He's an absolute legend. But he's just, it's just the best thing ever.
Cool.
We've needed each other for a long time.
We'll get to Duke's fight in his segment coming up. But one little thing I want to bring up. I took two clients to your last fight, and we did the table thing and all that. And the guy that's a dealer principal, Gerald Slaven, Nathan Hayes, legend of a bloke, really, really nice guy.
Did I meet him at that AFL dude speech, Dunstall?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, nice bloke.
He's walked in and sat down, and your dad was sitting across from us, and he's gone...
My favourite Didier.
He's gone, who's the old Grey Santana bloke there?
Grey Santana.
Grey Santana.
Gray Santana with a 200 bench.
That's what he said. He's gone, who's Gray Santana that's jacked? I pissed myself. And I went, that's Duke's dad. I went, he's a local legend. Like, just, but you've got to, every time your dad wears a hat, it's Carlos Santana from now on.
He wears
it. Does anyone say anything to his face? Fuck no.
Fedora hat. The Mickey hat, like the Rocky Balboa hat.
Yeah. Jeff don't give a shit.
No, it wasn't. He wasn't being a smart ass about it, but the fact that he's just gone, who's Jack Carlos Santana? I just thought that was fucking awesome.
That's good.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
It's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. It's a pretty loose edition. Thanks to the crew at The Butcher Shop. I'm Scotty. That's Ben. That's Duke. And Stevie is sitting there as well. We've had a bit of a break. Australia's won the Ashes.
Ben and Duke hate cricket.
Golden tonsillitis.
Steve's about to have a heart attack.
Golden tonsillitis.
Something's going on.
Is the bronze tonsils at the moment?
Oh, geez, they are brown. It's been a rough week.
I'm not even going there.
Well, you started it, pal.
Talking takedowns. Jukey, your last fight obviously didn't go the way you wanted it to go.
Welcome to Talking Takedowns.
So tell us about how you got taken down.
I didn't get taken down.
So, I mean, your video stream for a start. I know a social media guy. Call him for your next fight because it'll be a lot better than what you fucking put up there for people to see.
We can learn a lot from all aspects of the fight, I think, Scott.
Few adjustments to be made, I believe.
Few adjustments
in the cage and
taking it on the chin like a champion. And in all seriousness, I mean, I know we're joking around. We've had a few beers tonight, but I've got to give you credit. And the only thing I can relate it to is when I had a bad ratings result in radio, and it destroyed you because you didn't change anything or you worked even harder for that period.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Then a bunch of people you don't know fill out a little book and it comes back and you go down in the ratings. One, you don't get a bonus and you feel like shit. And that's the only thing I can put it to. So the fact that...
if you've ever been bashed up at front of a pub or something.
But the way you responded, man, I think it showed a lot of class. And I'll put it back to Ben. Like, Ben's always been really good after a loss as well. So I don't know if you've taken some out of that book, but... Mate, I think you held your head high after a loss. So
Like I said, I've won and lost many times in my career, and I'm happy to continue to move forward. And as long as I just keep doing the right thing, keep training hard.
Yeah.
If I win some, I lose some. It's all like it's just about how you keep going, and it's about not throwing the cards in when you lose because. Yeah. It's just as important to lose well as it is to win well.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's exactly right. But you never know how you're gonna. As I said, when the first time we tried to record this, when your $10,000
computer died,
you never know how you're going to react to your first loss. My first loss was about my fifth fight, I think.
Yeah.
But it was much less pressure. It wasn't for a title. It was fighting a world champ. There was no pressure.
Was
at
that
all.
Slawinski?
It
was.
Yeah. Then with Duke, there was a bit of pressure, man. Were you the favorite going in or the odds shortened up
The odds in one of the sports bets, and it started. I was not the favorite. I ended up very close to being the favorite.
So basically, Duke lost a lot of people some money. But you never know how you're going to handle loss until it actually happens.
Yeah.
And to Duke's credit, the next day we're driving home. We were laughing about it. We're joking about it. Yeah. Just positive stuff. Looking forward. And to his credit, because everyone said to me before, because Duke's he loves himself, and it's no secret. And everyone said to me, "How do you
go with the general consensus?
how do you think he's going to handle it? How's he going to handle it if he ever loses?" And I said, "Mate, I honestly don't know. I don't know. And I think maybe deep down, I don't know."
Well, after your last win, Duke was in the room at the Rex playing Piano Man by Billy Joel, and you just saw pants dropping off women when that was happening.
Dripping.
How did Duke handle what was happening backstage just after the fight?
Well, just
Duke?
Mate,
I've having Duke in here. This just takes all the attention off me, you guys. That's good. Jeez, you're a stud, Duke.
Talking about Stevie,
you are one of the best looking men I've ever seen.
Well, that's enough out of you, Payos.
This is good. Didier, you're in next year. Oh, that's right.
We've had that discussion.
I know. That's my point. I like having him around.
Straight after that, I've never seen someone so tired. Like, just pure exhaustion. Yeah. I knew at the end of the first round we were in trouble. And Duke won that first round, clearly. There's no question about it.
But then going
after the round, he was sitting on his stool. His head was down. I'm like, mate, are you all right? And he always goes,
I felt really good in that first round. Definitely won it. Definitely did everything was according to plan. Like that first round, everything perfect. Mapped out perfect.
And then, the
second, as I don't know what happened. I don't know why. I don't know if it was because I cut too much weight. I don't know if it was because I was a bit too nervous. I think it was one part mental, one part physical. But
so compared to your last fight, because and I remember saying to you, you came in for a podcast during winter and you'd been working out big time on heavy weights. Because I remember you walked in, I went, Jesus Christ, look at you. So you're a lot bigger and you had to cut more weight. So do you reckon that was a problem, the weight cut?
Look, I came down from 108 at the start of this camp to 293.
In 2 months.
15 kilos.
Yeah. 2 months on, and he's lean.
I lost 15 kilos in a week, but I had gastric sleeve surgery. So.
Hint, hint, dude.
I like me solids too much.
What a solids.
Who? Yeah, but look.
That's Sean, mate.
I've spoken to both Daniel Kelly, my the coach, and Ben as well, and we've got a little plan. Moving forward, I mean, it looks like we'll be able to talk about it a little bit later, but looks like we'll be on again in March and
And Duke's actually, since the fight, he's lost a little bit of weight.
You've lost weight in the last week.
He's lost a bit of muscle too, actually. He's been trying the 3-day fast.
Social beers.
He's
been
3-day week fasting.
He's preparing for Easter next year, mate.
It's Christmas. Ever leave me alone.
It's Christmas Lent.
He's been on the Steve Payos weekend diet. You just eat fish.
Didn't last long, did it?
It's disgusting.
Thanks, Grubs. That's good. That's good.
But, mate, straight after the fight, I've never seen someone so tired. He was on the ground and didn't move for like half an hour. I said, mate, I was worried like it was a brain problem. He didn't eat that many shots. Like, he had black eyes and stuff, but that was just punches on the ground. He was okay.
Yeah.
But he couldn't even communicate. Yeah, and I'm like, mate, are you okay? Do you want me to get a doctor? Yeah. And all he could say was, fuck off. Yeah. And then I knew he was all right.
Are you worried at the moment? Or?
This is normal.
Off.
And then I gave him some time and went and spoke to his dad. He goes, yeah, I'm not talking to him tonight. So I knew this was a normal thing. And then he got up and I thought, oh, okay, he's coming good. This is good. And then just vomited for 10 minutes straight.
Whoa.
Is that lactic buildup?
I think that shock.
No,
it's an adrenaline
massive
dump.
Massive adrenaline
but,
dump.
But as I've said to Ben, I do that after every fight. I have a drop. Not that bad.
A lot of guys do that.
As bad as it was last time, but I have a couple of drops. Like I normally go out and I do have a throw up after all my fights.
That's not uncommon in sport.
Yeah, right.
Like, because I think it's because I put my adrenaline up and I've got to work mentally maybe not build the nerves up so high because as you can tell, it drops. So
I thought you handled before the fight pretty well, except maybe as you say before.
I cornered one of my teammates,
Sebastian that you spoke
and
about.
Who won. And
K1 Seb.
But I remember the feeling, because I was nervous for him, and I went, I probably shouldn't be going through this.
But we actually discussed that before.
We weren't going to do it, but then at the time I went, I feel all right.
I
don't blame Duke for that because it's hard. You've got a mate fighting, you're at the venue. It's hard not to bloody watch, especially if there's a free
and
seat.
And obviously good to hang around a winner on the night.
Oh, exactly. I'm glad someone's winning, eh?
Oh, fuck.
I've got a funny story about that, actually. We actually met up with a chick on the day of the fight, and Duke's, we're all talking a little bit, and everything's going good, and she starts messaging Seb, and Seb's like, Duke lost, I won, what are you doing? Everyone loves a winner, Duke.
Last podcast, you called him your son, and you're really
that was a different guy. Different son.
Okay.
That's just Seb, my Hungarian idiot brother.
He's a legend. He's a legend. Okay. Good chin, thank God, because he's got no defense. He doesn't listen to his corner.
Glad you found one of your sons, Duke. That's good. Oh, it's going to be a good year next year. Oh, that's good, boys. That's good.
Well, listen, obviously, we'll wrap up Duke's segment here and talk about more fights when we come up talking STDs with Steve. But obviously, in the right frame, you're thinking about next year. Benny, you were saying UFC's already put out an olive branch.
Yeah, we've actually had some emailed today, my mate Mickey Duros has a friend of a friend who works for the UFC. Yeah, we got an email from saying, look, there's a guy called, I can't remember his name, Mike, something, I don't know. Yeah. But he talks directly to Sean Shelby, who does the matchups for the lighter weight divisions, and Dana, who does the heavyweight divisions. Stuff. Ben's on our radar, just needs a couple more fights. And so everything I've said.
And again, true. Duke, like, even with that loss, as much as it sucks, you see a lot of guys going to the UFC on the prelims and stuff that have got a couple of losses on their cards.
UFC don't care about that. Yeah. He'll get his shot. He'll get it. And he's 5 years younger than me.
Yeah.
He's got nothing but time, and there's not a lot of big guys coming through, heavies and light heavies as well. So
if I can say so, after the fight, Ashkan Mokhtarian pulled me aside and had a chat to me, and he's just had two goes in the UFC and ended up with two losses. And he spoke to me after about Duke, and he said, listen, one of the most important things for Duke here is to walk away from this and make sure he takes the experiences out of it, takes the positives, and doesn't get too downhearted by it.
Yeah, because, that's exactly what he did the next day.
Because it's very easy in that situation to end up in your mental headspace where you get on that down and you're like, what do I do now? Whereas Duke's basically walked away from it with that positive outlook, and he's been through two tough losses. Yeah. One where he went into a fight, you know, probably a little bit cautious, went into his next fight overcautious and fought a good fight, to be honest, in his second fight.
Yeah,
it all went wrong in a split second. Yeah. And now he's hoping for another chance to get out there and show what he can go.
Well, Mokhtarian obviously needs to come to Canberra and go to CMC on a Sunday like Duke does after all.
thank my sponsor, Canberra. Or my post-fight.
My post-fight celebrations 2 weeks straight.
My commiserations become a celebration.
So that's that'll be the interesting part is to see what comes for these two boys. They're both on a very good path, a good trajectory. Yeah. And for me, watching the fight was good, as we're saying. Like, Duke won that first round. It could have even been a 10-8 on another day. It was a very dominant first round performance. Yep. And then the second two rounds, look, if it had been unanimous in Duke's favour, I don't think too many people would have complained either. I think it was very, very close.
Well, there was one reversal at the end where Duke was in a good spot.
But the referee pulled him up. The referee stood him up where he probably shouldn't have. So
there's definitely
if it had come out that Duke won, you know, or even a split decision either way or whatever the case may
have
been.
People wouldn't have flipped out.
So look, I don't think there was, I don't think there was too much wrong with the decision. It is a subjective game when it comes to judging. And talking to Jimmy afterwards, He was very honest about it and saw the fight as a lot of us did. So it was good, mate. There's big Jim Purdios, one of the referees. Manager. Yeah, he's like UFC ref. Yeah. Very, very nice bloke. So
well groomed.
Absolutely. Good looks fella. Like me, mate. Yeah.
He says sitting in footy shorts and a t-shirt you can't even read.
On purpose. Look, it'll be good. The boys will obviously bounce back bigger and better next year, and looking forward to seeing the journey unfold for both of them.
I just like it how after the fight you go, Benny, we'll have a chat to you and Nathan Reddy, who the guy Duke fought. Oh, yeah, no dramas. Now look at Duke for 30 seconds, come over to Steve.
30?
Mate, we aren't talking.
Benny looked at Duke for 3.5 seconds. He goes,
we're not talking to the man.
We're
not talking.
We're out of here.
No more questions.
No more questions, Your Honour.
Duke has left the building.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
You've downloaded the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters and Ben the Governor Edwards.
God bless the interwebs.
And now, with the Macedonian Love God, it's time for the vast planet
of athletic endeavour.
And you are record for Usain Bolt.
Australia won the toss and they're going to bowl.
Scoring brilliant goals.
Nice hole in one. Tour.
Take it away, Stevie.
I mean, we've spoken to the guys about fighting, Steve, and there's been a huge bunch of fights on since we went off the air at the end of
Absolutely.
October. Of course, obviously, some really big UFC fights, and Bisping got his ass handed to him twice, and Robert Whittaker is now the champ with GSP out, which is great.
Mm.
Tai Tuivasa, Ben, you were in his camp with him, and it was one thing I wanted to ask you two guys about.
Western Sydney, brah!
Yeah, that could not have been.
SC!
Yeah!
Duke, that couldn't have been a better debut for a heavyweight in the
good
UFC.
Good way to show up, eh?
24 years old, mate.
Flying knee.
Made 70 to just grand.
Poleaxe him.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. Yeah. Like the UFC, like, matched him very well. But Ty even tried for this weird old takedown. He spoke about it. He goes, I don't know what I was thinking. It was one of my foot sweeps. It was terrible.
Yeah.
And ended up on his back, worked his way back up, got the underhook, as I hear good things about. Got up, flying knee KO in the UFC debut. That's phenomenal, man. $70,000, good for
and
you.
And I read this week,
such a
Steve,
good bloke,
like,
good bloke, good crew.
That's
apparently
right.
A bunch of blokes dodging him now, don't want to know about the
because,
next fight in Perth.
Because no one wants to lose to a guy with one UFC fight. Your stock just plummets.
Who's very dangerous. But don't you think, let's take a step forward here, Benny. I think that's a similar position for if you get in that heavyweight banging division,
and
mate.
Had,
and you're
he's had MMA fights.
Absolutely.
Like
he's 7-0.
He's 7-0,
I mean,
he's had seven and zero,
I'm pretty sure.
So how's that any different?
It would have been the same record if Duke won.
Oh, Jesus. I thought we'd pass.
Wrap
that
this
now.
Up.
Duke's going to leave here tonight and start cutting himself.
No, he's going to rip my arm off.
For about 6 minutes. And then look in the review and go, God damn, I'm good looking.
I'm looking good.
Yeah. I caught a reflection of myself in the review mirror. Well, I said, God damn, I'm good looking.
Went back to Taito Viasa.
Yeah. Such a good win for him, which is obviously great for the sport. And I mean, essentially, the next fight lineup in Perth, it's Western Sydney boys.
Oh, how good's that?
How good is that?
Volkanovski as well. He's going well in the UFC so far.
Yeah.
Two of us, maybe the top three.
But like I was saying, Ben, you take that step, two steps forward, you get that UFC debut and knock someone out. No one's going to want to fight you either, mate.
They want Aussie guys on those cards. They don't want to come to Australia and have an American fighting Canadian. They want Aussies. People investing. When we were at the show, they're the fights people.
And that's how you get people. That's how you get people to the local events like that, isn't it? They actually come to watch those top
fights. All the Aussies, everyone was just getting behind them just naturally.
Course,
they didn't even know who the hell they were, but he's Australia. All right,
how was it, boys? Tell us. I saw you two boys there.
You guys
were there with Mickey D. Is the atmosphere still great for those? Are they still great? Those the fight nights as opposed to the UFC events?
I've been to.
They're awesome. Yeah, I've been to quite a few. As soon as you go to one, you just want to go.
I've been to a few, Mickey, and they are sensational. Unbelievable.
Compared with like the lower level shows.
To Tipper,
no disrespect to like AFN and all that stuff. But it's the difference between going and watching park footy, group nine and the NRL.
Yeah, it was just motivating. It was awesome.
Yeah,
you
still get the same emotions, but I mean, it's also,
it was awesome.
It's like watching a show at ANU, bar, and then going and watch one at the, at like, you know, Sydney.
The Whacker.
Very nice. I told him that. But it's good. It's motivating, and it's definitely we sat so close. You can sort of. It's still real. It's not like you look at it on TV where it's that distant sort of thing.
And the crowd knows what's going on these days.
Absolutely.
It's like back in the day, oh, fucking rip his head off. The crowd knows. You get a good takedown. The crowd's into it. And then you go for a submission. The crowd sort of knows what's going on.
What's your thoughts on Whittaker now? He's basically effectively a champ.
Duke and I went to a JITS comp. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're right.
But Duke and I went. We went to a JITS comp, mate. Whittaker's been active, man. He had his knee injury. He's come back. Good. He's doing JITS comps. He's tried out for the Commonwealth Games wrestling team.
He made it.
He has been actively competing in shit, which is, mate, it's the best form of training.
Yeah,
and he's been doing the work in the gym as well.
So, but I would assume that he's of the opinion that until he actually goes out there and wins it in, you know, he's beaten some big guys. Let's not lie about that. But
until he gets
in that fight, you know, you're the champ to be a defending. You know, fight now.
It's just a bonus.
Who do you think he'll come up against? I've heard Luke Rockhold in the media the last week.
He's fighting Rockhold.
It is. It's been announced. Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, excuse me for being under a rock.
Yeah. It's been busy. Collins.
What was her name?
That's too easy. Back to Diddy, eh?
Don't start on me, mate. Yeah.
GSP vacated. He's Colin.
That's yeah.
Allegedly.
Oh, he's playing white design.
That was Herb Alpert and the Tia Wang.
Yes.
mate, he's been doing all the right stuff, man. He's training with the Top Guns. Mate, I think Whittaker's actually the favourite going into the fight. And so he should be. And Rockhold looked very human in his last fight against David Branch, who's fought a middleweight David Branch, and he tagged Rockhold a few times. If Whittaker lands those punches, Rockhold's sleeping.
Well, from MMA to Australian boxing, Stevie, obviously the big story for Australian boxing last week, Jeff Horn, a successful title defence.
That's right, he defended his title against...
Imagine the caravan. Old Corcoran's going to be out of board.
Yeah, the Hellraiser,
from
mate.
Yeah, funny. From Mara. Caravan from Mara.
That's it. The Northern English.
You like ducks?
Yeah. He gave a good performance. He came in and actually, you know, stood the distance with Jeff Horn. Horn. Mm. Bit of a scrappy fight.
Wasn't
again.
A purist fight.
Yeah, no, that's it was right. Scrappy. That's right. It was another scrappy fight. But look, Jeff Horn got through it. The towel was thrown in the 11th round. I mean, you guys would know absolutely more than this about this than what I would in yes. terms of what a corner's no. Yeah, let me finish.
Hands
God
up.
Damn it.
I'm not boxing.
Yeah, in terms of what it would be like for a corner to see their fighter in a position where they need to throw the towel in. That's where I'm going with that. I mean, you guys.
That's probably a worse position than getting knocked out.
Yeah.
The corner's just like, he's done.
Because you're going, well, we've got to save this guy.
He didn't look like he was done, though, did he?
I thought it was a little bit early. That's, yeah, especially
you'd
for
have to agree with that. But he could.
Yeah, especially for a world title fight.
Exactly.
I'd have the shits in my. If it's a beginner and it's his first 10 fights or whatever, or it's not a world title, okay, throw on the towel, come back another day. If it's a world title,
let him go. And how disappointed would he be? I mean, he was miles behind on the cards, as you know, in martial arts and any of those sports, all it takes is that one moment, one KO. We've seen it over the years.
Look when Horn won against Pacquiao, that ninth round, Pacquiao had him for all money.
Yeah.
And he sort of got to the bell and he came back.
Imagine if Horn's corner threw it in. Yeah. Your world titles is different. Beginners or not world title fights, you got to look after the fighter. You got to save the fighter from themselves. But world title is a different fight altogether. Yeah.
And he's worked hard to get there and get to that point as well.
You've got all the salty Filipinos online still that won't let it go. And a lot of people saying Horn's not a true champion. Well, I'm sorry, he is. He fought Pacquiao, and maybe Pacquiao was past his prime.
Yeah.
But he fought him. He's now defended. And Crawford's, on the hook. And Mundine's thrown, offered $4 million.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Horn just go in and I've supported Anthony when he's fought Danny Green and stuff like that because I've interviewed him a few times. He's been a really nice bloke, but I'd like to see Jeff Horn go in and just poleaxe.
Jeff Horn came out this week and said that's the easier fight for me. He's take on Mundine.
He should tune up on Mundine and then
take Crawford. Get another fight in the belt and take $4 million.
Take the payday and then go fight
Crawford.
He's not the favourite against Crawford.
Crawford's going to give him nightmares. Crawford's top 5 pound for pound at the moment.
Yeah.
He would give Horn absolutely nightmares.
So is that the end of the road though for Jeff Horn after he fights Terence Crawford though, because if he goes over there and gets touched
there and
up,
loses,
yeah,
I don't think Crawford's going to start.
He'd have
a
rematch clause being the champ, surely. If he fights Crawford,
that's up for grabs now. Especially if Crawford's a bigger draw in America.
That's what I was going to say. He's not going to then go, okay, I'm going to have a rematch back in Australia and come all the way back.
Crawford will be one and done.
The draw to Jeff Horn's the belt, and if he doesn't have the belt, then they're not going to give him the look.
But yeah.
Okay.
If that is the end of the day, mate, he's got money in the bank, he's good.
Well, that's his. The positive way to look at it, he's got options. He's in a situation now where he's got options. He's got someone that he can fight in Australia as a moneymaker. Mm-hmm. You look at what Joe Parker did. He defended his title at home once, but then he was in a position where he didn't have a whole lot of guys that he could fight in the region, in New Zealand. Had to go over, fought Huey Fury and beat him, but that wasn't, you're going to talk about scrappy fights. That was another one that wasn't great. That whole heavyweight division should open itself up next year with any luck.
Speaking of heavyweight boxing, Duco Promotions called me today.
Did they?
Offered me a fight with Willis Meehan on one of the next Duco
shows. That's Carly's son, is it?
Yeah, Carly's son.
From Fight Call Out.
I haven't had a boxy fight for 2.5 years. I'm committed to MMA, but money
if
talks.
If the money's there, I'll fight.
But I don't, nothing's going to come.
Who called you then on again? Or
Chris Carman.
Chris Carman, right. Yeah, is he in Brisbane somewhere though?
Don't know.
So
he's on the phone.
Ben loves to put it all out on the table here in the podcast. Why
haven't we discussed this?
That's the first I've heard of it. So everyone.
Do you think that's come given your former history as Australian heavyweight boxing champ, or the fact that you've been sparring with Lucas Big Daddy Brown?
No, I think it's just my history. There was just a whole bunch of names in that for Willis to fight.
Right,
I'm one of them.
How do you reckon you'd go against Willis, mate?
I think it'd be a good fight for me. Actually, I think I perform.
He's taking a boxing fight. We're changing path. Yeah.
I'm committed to MMA, but payday's made.
What?
But,
you heard it here first.
I think it's a good fight. Willis is a good fighter. He's tall, long, but I fight very well against tall, long guys. I struggle more against guys that are shorter than me.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bunny's right.
Speaking of payday, you know.
And I'm going back to judo, everyone.
What kind of payday are you getting
there? The
money's
there? Right there.
It's all there and all waiting. So that's good, mate. There's plenty to look forward to in the world of martial arts, obviously, next year when it comes to the UFC, when it comes
to... credit
to
you, man. That was a... mate, that's the first time I've seen you run a show for a little while now. Mate, awesome, mate. Mm. Professional. You're a seasoned... How old are you?
31.
31. Yeah.
I taught him everything
man.
I know.
He's the youngest ring announcer by bloody 15 years, mate. Wait till you're in your 40s, man.
Well,
and you've got 1,000 shows on
your belt. There's a lot of opportunities.
And again, it's not pissing his pockets because he doesn't have any in those footy shorts, but you are... You're the best. You're the best ring announcer we've got in Canberra. There's no doubt about it. And the fact that you're getting the shows in Sydney and stuff as well, like, you know,
it's a credit. It's a credit to his work ethic.
Yeah,
as well.
And I mean, you look at the big guys; they're all 50 and pegging 60 as well. Yeah. So, I mean, the world's your oyster with that stuff.
Appreciate that very much, boys. I'm hoping to take it to the next level.
Very impressive. Fluoro pink tie.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Yeah, the nice navy suit, mate. Yeah,
it almost goes as far as one of the best things on a shit day.
Well, that's what we're talking about before we went off air with our muck about there with the system, but basically it was that was an announcement I really enjoyed. I wanted to do a good job for Duke that day.
That was the highlight of Duke's life.
Bon Jovi.
We're there, Bon Jovi, Stevie P,
and then the fight started. Then round one ended.
Well, that was the only thing that was missing, and it goes back to that. You just spoke about that, Benny. I mean, for me personally, you got to be professional, and that's how I always am. Always present myself that way. I get a scorecard before. You know, the entire 2,000 people.
You know before
I'm the only one other than the head judge who knows what's going on. Me and the head judge, the only one knows what's going on. And you got to keep a straight face. You don't look at anyone.
Yeah.
Or if you do, you look at both sides equally and fairly.
I was waiting for you to look at me and wink, but it didn't come. Yeah.
Everything's going to be okay.
You can't do that. You can't let on like that. So that just adds to the pain.
He could have done a sneaky one of these.
It's an interesting position to be in, though.
God mode.
You're the first person to know. Even all the judges don't know. The judge gave to that guy, but who knows what
That's always the way, and like the commentators will say, down to whoever it is for the judge's decision. No one knows it, so
it's a privileged position.
It is.
He knows what's happening. It's like when he's out on the Friday night. He knows what's happening before.
Pick it before it even gets there. Oh, dear, mate.
I know what's happening before.
I know where this is.
Yeah, so hopefully, mate, we have some big news coming up soon as well. There's plenty of stuff in the pipeline which me and you've been working on together, mate. So we'll see, hopefully that'll get sorted out, and we can. Talk about stuff.
Do we talk about what's coming up for me and Duke?
Not really. No.
Let's talk about it.
Well,
so what's coming up for you boys early in the new year?
I thought we weren't saying that.
We can say we're leaning towards, March the 3rd.
Duke answered it professionally before.
That's the brace spot.
Well,
right?
I'm not leaning. I'm 100% in. I've got a shot of the brace.
Sorry, Duke, cover your ears, pal.
So March 3rd at the AIS, you're fighting for the brace heavyweight titles.
We're just trying to find an opponent. Yeah.
Well, why are you laughing, Duke? No,
no one else has announced it yet. Ben Edwards is fighting for the brace heavyweight title.
Do you want me to bleep that? Jim?
Well, I don't know. Does Ben want to... They are looking to match Ben for the heavyweight title. And I've said this before. I'm looking to defend my belt.
Yep.
I haven't signed anything yet. We're looking to do the same show. I've been
telling
people.
So the two of you on the same show.
Mate, there's going to be three or four from the scrap pack.
Yeah. So it'll be...
Maybe more.
I'm happy to say I've already bought a corporate table for that event.
Yeah.
Excellent.
We're both looking to go. So we no opponents or anything yet, but... watch your space, and it's going to be a big, big night, March the 3rd. So
yeah, okay.
Cannot wait.
Friday night or Saturday night, boys?
I think it's Saturday.
Isn't it Saturday?
No, it's a Saturday. It is a Saturday because I've got something on the Sunday Saturday. In Sydney, so that'll be good. I'll be around this time for once, which will be good.
It'll be good, yeah. It'll be nice.
Come on my table, mate.
I mean,
sit at the table, Steve. Put it out there.
Yeah, I've got it. Don't you worry, pal.
Yeah. I just think, there won't be many more opportunities for Ben and I to fight on the same show. So it'll be a nice one. Hopefully we can close it out with two belts. I think it'll be nice considering we started this.
Yeah. That'll be awesome.
You started this gangster shit.
One thing we haven't brought up, Steve, your football team has been hit with salary cap charges for the last 5 years, and I've signed Mitchell Pearce.
Yeah, thanks, Scotty. That's good from you. I'm happy to announce on this podcast that apparently they won't be dropping any points, which is good.
Okay.
Until it probably comes out in the new year that they do. So we'll see how that goes, mate. Yeah, NRL shaping up to be an interesting season next year. I was talking to my good friend of mine at work about it a few weeks ago, and he said the way it's shaping up is that it's very hard to determine who's going to end up where next year. And more than anything, who would you put to get the wooden spoon next year? Because it won't be Newcastle again.
I don't think it'll be Newcastle next year. You're
looking at maybe Gold Coast as someone who's an early front runner for the spoon, especially with the bookies. But apart from that, shape up to be a good year in the NRL. And after Australia just won the World Cup, it was a good high note for rugby league to end on after a tumultuous year at times for them.
Cronk at the Roosters, they've just signed Angus Crichton today. So the salary sombrero at the Roosters is in full effect.
Absolutely.
They don't have a cap. They've got a sombrero to fit everyone underneath that big bar.
that's right, as it always is. So, yeah, that'd be a good year next year, mate. Mm. Hopefully Manly come out of it unscathed on the points. I know everyone else is hoping that they don't. But I certainly hoping that we start the year on even keel with everyone else. But from what I understood, mate, they said that there's some anomalies, but nothing that's that bad, though. Is that right? Or I mean,
I don't know. I just heard Manly breach salary cap and laughed.
Yeah, and just decided to run with it. So, yeah, mate, it should be a good year, mate. Looking forward to that. We've still got the cricket to worry about, though, for the rest of the year, mate. We won the Ashes about, what, 35 minutes ago? Yep. So that was really good. I thought England have been very disappointing, though. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
They've performed like we have on two of the last three Ashes tours away, where we've capitulated with our batting. We haven't bowled in partnerships, and we're just not good enough to win a test match. And I mean, we won one in the last two series over there, I think. But overall, we've been absolutely hopeless. So disappointing for England not to see a series. Don't get me wrong, I want Australia to win 5-0, but you still want them to be competitive, and they just haven't been. So it was good for us to win. And as you mentioned before, Steve Smith starting to not you can't put him into Bradman territory yet, but I tell you what, he's hitting them well, isn't he?
Well, he's head and shoulders above everyone else and head and shoulders below Bradman, sort of.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way of putting it, isn't it? You've got...
Yeah. I love the fact Duke and Ben are over there playing on their phone.
No, Duke's on Facebook. I'm pretending to...
I can't even... It's cricket.
Oh, mate, you should have seen that, Scotty, before when you were trying to get the podcast happening. Yeah, again, you should have heard these boys feeding him. What does the runs mean? What is this? Oh, Ben's best for the day was, well, how many balls have been bowled this test?
Yeah. I asked Edwards.
Probably about 170 interest.
I'd rather Edwards knock me out, eh?
Yeah.
Give myself an uppercut.
Oh, dear me. So, yeah, mate, we've got the summer to look forward to. The MCG test is always a big event.
And a bit
more cricket before all the winter sports get back into it. World Cup next year to look forward to as well, which we'll talk about as that gets closer next year in the podcast. But big year in sport as always, mate. There's always plenty going on and plenty to look forward to as well.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is recorded in a bedroom in front of one very disinterested diamond python and occasionally a ginger cat called Alan.
Alan! Alan! Alan!
Oh, so that's not Alan. Steve, not Steve.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Steve.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
It is listener question time on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the crew at the Butcher Shop. This is the Christmas edition. We thought we'd whip one out just before Christmas. And Ash Carter, who I believe is a mate of most of yours.
From New Level Landscapes.
Has said,
will
Ben be getting a Duke shirt for Christmas?
Well, first of all, Ash is an absolute legend of a bloke. He's helping me out with my Christmas.
Ash, you are one of the best.
He is a beautiful human being. I can't say enough good things about him. And to answer the question, no, I won't, because it's a waste of money, because I won't be born.
Well, Ash from New Level Landscapes has given me a New Level Landscape shirt, so that question's been answered by Ash himself.
Well, why don't you give it back, because you're not going to wear it. The only shirt I've seen Duke wear lately is this shit brown one he's got on now. What's going on there, man?
You don't need that many shirts. It's Christmas time, guys.
When you spend 23 hours a day without a shirt, you don't care when you do put it on for that hour. A mate of mine, Jonathan Javel, Jolie, punches on the ground, yes or no? Ben, you said you wanted to answer this question in the podcast.
Yeah, 100% yes. I know, like, people look at it and you see a guy knocked out, then a guy lands an extra shot. But the amount of times you see a guy dropped...
Like Nagano did to
Overeem. But the amount of times you see a guy get dropped, and as soon as they hit the ground, they spring back to life and they're going for it again. Man, you can't run that risk. You stop when the ref tells you to stop.
If I'm
ever in that position, I'm dropping bombs until the ref pulls me off, man. Because I'm not going to risk losing a fight. It completely affects my career trajectory, the amount of money I make.
Because you thought, oh, yeah, he's gone.
And my opponent would do it to me in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And it's not a tickling contest. It's a fight, man. And the fight stops when the ref tells you it's over.
So the Mark Hunt walk-off uppercut is nothing we're ever going to see from you.
If you're Mark Hunt, you can do that.
No. Yeah.
Mark Hunt's
he's
different.
Making,
Mark Hunt's
he's making
different.
Bank. He can do his walk-offs.
Mark Hunt's different.
Bob Harvey says, what's the best and worst Christmas presents you've ever received? So I don't know how much thought you put into this one, boys. Benny?
We don't go too crazy on Christmas. Mm. Yeah, there's nothing really stands out.
You never got anything that you just went, oh, gee, thanks?
Oh, just...
I got a good one. I got a good one. One year I got as a piss take as a grooming kid. I go, oh, here we go. Thanks very much, pal. Yeah, I know where you're going with this one. That was a good one. I remember that, getting a grooming kid. I once got a Rafael Nadal book, which I loathe because I love Roger Federer my whole life. Right, and I was just I'm not reading this. So thanks. I still haven't read it. It's in the bookshelf, but I've never touched it.
Jiggy?
Rafael?
Look, you know, the best, worst. I remember I was opening presents. I was like, great, a pair of gloves, great, a motorbike helmet that I don't. Oh my God, it's a motorbike.
Yeah.
It went from worst to best real quick. But then, you know, I don't get the best Christmas presents anymore because I don't really show up to Christmas that well.
Yeah. is that because of Bielsa? Duke
kind of goes off on his own.
Well, they have these bloody Christmas Eve parties. And what do they expect from me, you know? So, and there's been times where, I showed up a little drunk to Christmas or, you know, haven't slept as much as should.
Oh, yeah, last year was one of the greats.
Bring friends over.
Duke's last 5 years.
But yeah, I'm under lock and key apparently this year. But
so it'll be a family Christmas for Duke.
5 a.m.
We'll see what happens. They
normally stopping at 5 a.m.
Normally we got big dad out the front of the Kingo looking for me, just in the car. Like he doesn't. I don't even
get
text
in the caddy. We're going home.
He marched through the pub, looking for me. I didn't text him to come either. He just got me. Right, I'm in the car. We're going home.
And when Jack Santana comes. Yeah. You go home.
Oh, you cue the music. Now.
Oh, 1 year for Secret Santa at the radio station, someone bought me a HSV shower kit. So it was like body wash, and it smelled like sunflower.
Like oil?
It was shit. It had my car on the front, which was kind of cool, but it smelled like shit.
Yeah. Wow.
Did you find out who gives it to you?
No. Secret Santa. It's
probably Nige.
It may have been.
Well, that Irish cunt.
See Bob from Bennetwood.
So many Christmas letters. So many wishes. Lucy wants a squeezy doll. Jimmy wants a moon rocket. Oh, this list's rather long. Shit, I want. I know I've been naughty, but I
That was Tenacious D and Sum 41, Things I Want, which I wanted to play in the Christmas podcast because that is the best Christmas rock song ever written.
There was, it wasn't on the thing.
No, yet. It wasn't, but I just decided to throw it in the last minute, so we got a second song in the podcast,
Benny.
I like it.
If someone was to play you in the movie of your life, it would be Mr. Jack Black.
Jack Black, yes. Yeah. Big ups to the crew at The Butcher Shop for sponsoring the podcast this year. We really do appreciate it. And honestly, without The Butcher Shop, we wouldn't be able to do it because it does cost us money to actually record this and host it and do all that sort of stuff. So big ups to Ian and the crew out there. There'll be some big Butcher Shop news next year, so we'll let you know all about it over Christmas. Stevie, Duke, Ben, what is on the card? So, Duke, you're not going out. You're not getting hammered.
Maybe.
That'll be first question when we resume in April.
I'm a little hammered now. I don't know. I can't make any promises while I'm hammered. That's drunk Duke.
Benny, what about you, mate? What's happening for Christmas? Not much?
Not much is working. I'm going to keep training through. Every day since September. I'm going to keep the ball rolling.
Yep.
You're looking good. Good for you, Edwards.
Due to the positive influence of Duke, I just wish he'd heed his own advice. He was just drilling into me the importance of having an active rest day, and my active rest day used to includes eating twisties and changing the channel on the TV remote. But since he told me that, every day, just done a little bit, sweated every day from training. So
awesome.
And healthy sweated mind. Every day from not training as well. A sweaty motherfucker. But just training and working and, just staying on it.
Very nice. Staying Stevie, easy. What about you, mate? What's happening for Christmas?
Mate, we finish off.
Poontang.
He'll be unwrapping a different kind of presents.
Yeah, that's a question for Duke, mate. But yeah,
try to take the heat off you.
I'm trying my best, eh? Like, I got Didier in the room for Craigie's sake, mate. We got Christmas parties and stuff like that Friday, so I'm sure all the boys will be out and about, and we'll catch up at some point. Yeah, nice. And then heading down the coast on Saturday, which would be nice. So just with the family, 5 days. Back on Wednesday, and then off to Bali on the next day, the Thursday. So,
Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, marvellous. So that'll be good, mate. So awesome. Heading to Bali and a bit of time in Thailand, just relax and then come out.
Sorry, I thought you were finished.
No, that's all right. No worries, mate. Just interrupt me again.
Sorry.
It's what he does. Yeah. No one argues with him because he's the size of a house.
Who would want to?
What's up,
Can
Ben?
I talk?
Yeah. Come on.
And you're cruising Newcastle on a Harley.
Hopefully. I sold my old Harley, got a new one today.
Well, it was too enjoyable.
A new secondhand one today.
If this comes out the wrong way, I mean zero disrespect. But did you sell the old Harley because your wife enjoyed riding it with you too much?
No, I sold this one because this one will be a lot more comfortable to go to Newcastle.
I'm not talking about comfort, I'm talking about vibrations.
This one this one does vibrate less because it's got a twin cam, but now this bike's essentially a 413-kilo lounge chair on wheels with cruise control and a stereo.
That looks good, that one. Is that one that was down the back, though?
Today? Down the front,
It'd be like riding these.
But didn't you buy another one recently? That wasn't that one.
No, I bought my first Harley in February, which was an old 95.
No, but you posted something last week about...
Yeah, no, that was the one I got today.
That's that one,
that
right?
That all went through today. So
it's a lazy boy.
It's a different
pick,
though. Surely, Mars. Is that different colours?
No, mate.
That was that one.
No, same bike. But gig out at Gundaroo Colonial Inn for New Year's Eve with the band this year, which is going to be a cracker out there. And other than that, I'll just be working through the break and getting into it. But the podcast will resume in April. And we'll be back April through to November again, like we did this year.
Beautiful. And I'm coming to stay, everyone.
I've got to go to Fiverr and get the little kid in Portugal to draw another cartoon character
with that photo.
No. I want a photo with the shirt off. Duke will be the only one.
Can we find one?
I've got the perfect one. I'll send it to you.
I'll give you 30 to choose from.
I've thought about this.
Excellent. Oh, God. So thanks to everyone who's listened and downloaded this year. We do really appreciate your support. And, we will be back in 2018. Have a cracking Christmas and a great new year. And we'll talk to you then. See ya.
See you next April.
Nice.
What's my line again?
Have a Merry Christmas.
Have a Merry Christmas, everyone. We'll see you all next year, ready and raring with these three absolute idiots.
Get
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride.
Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing.
And Steve can get all Barry White and seduce the world into thinking everything is going to be just fine. That will happen in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Till next time.